Reaction 7. Quote, "That seems to be true, but no one knows who is an Israelite today." End quote. May we quote 2 Timothy 2:19? "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." End quote. There is a holy separate people which are stone, elect, and precious, above all other people, which have now obtained mercy. They are brethren from the womb, and are anointed, meaning Christos. Does not mean Christ, it means they are anointed. They are born from above, that is, begotten from above. The Bible does give marks of identification that are clear and unmistakable, but this identity factor is outside the scope of this study. Reaction 8, quote, "This is all very well, but now everything is spiritualized," end quote. It is unfortunate for such a belief that the 12 tribes of Israel keep appearing in the New Testament. In this present New Testament age, they are not spiritualized away. To react this way is to say that Jesus and Paul are wrong. Paul said, "Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come," Acts 26:7. How can 12 individual tribes be spiritualized? Reaction 9, quote, "The law has been fulfilled, therefore nothing in the law applies anymore," end quote. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17-18, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." The law has different aspects. In Romans 13:8-10, we have a discourse about fulfilling the law, which concludes with, "Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." This scripture is sometimes quoted as proof that everything relating to the law is finished. But verse 8 is about people, as individuals, fulfilling the law by their actions. It is not about God fulfilling his covenants and promises. This is confirmed in Matthew 7:12, where Jesus is saying, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets." Jesus has fulfilled what is written in the law concerning himself, Luke 24:44. His sacrifice has fulfilled that part of the law concerning sacrifices. Possibly the short answer to the rest of the matter of fulfilling the law is that heaven and earth has not yet passed away. When they are passed away, all will have been fulfilled. What has been written in the law, the Psalms and the prophets, will come to pass. The promises to the seed of Abraham still stand and will yet come to pass. Reaction 10, quote, "Everyone is now the same because all are one in Christ Jesus," end quote. This epitomizes the traditional teachings of the modern-day Judeo-Christian church. But they are far from the truth. Galatians 3:7, "Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." It sounds right at first glance, particularly when the pronouns are ignored. The ye are the people being addressed. That is why it is necessary to establish that the so-called Gentiles in the epistles were Israelites. A later lesson is devoted to this subject. There is no pattern through the law, the Psalms, and the prophets to support this modern-day tradition. It is not there, so something must be wrong with the traditional teaching of the modern-day church. Reaction 11, quote, "It makes no difference now because all nations are blessed in Abraham. All is now of grace," end quote. Some teachers actually do say this, believe it or not. Now, if this were true, it means that the Old Testament is invalid. It is like the Roman Catholic idea of saying that the church is the authority rather than the Bible, and yet quoting the Bible wrongly about Peter and the rock to support their view. But to whom is God gracious if all is of grace? Is it every one of every race on earth? Exodus 33:19 says, "And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Romans 9:15-18, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Therefore hath the mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. This question of the grace of God is a subject in itself, but the overriding principle is the sovereignty of God. It is whom he will. To say glibly, all of the is of grace is to include everyone and to make a mockery of the sovereignty of God. If redemption is for every man of every race, then the whole choice is man's choice, and this is another gospel, 2 Corinthians 11:6 and Galatians 1:6. In the New Testament, grace refers to the divine influence upon the heart. We can find no reference to God writing the law on their hearts other than to Israel, nor can we find a word of prophecy about a new heart being given to any other than the Israelites. Are there two or three witnesses for exclusive Israel? Of course. 2 Corinthians 13:1, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. What is the first witness? The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is contained in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. The New Testament is contained in the Gospels, the Epistles, and Revelations. What is the second witness? The Old Testament speaks redemption being for Israel alone. Number two, the New Testament speaks of redemption being for Israel alone. What is the third witness? The Old Testament was made with Israel alone, Psalm 147, 19, and 20. The New Testament was made with Israel alone, Hebrews 8:8. Let us go on to look further into these issues and to meet the objections and the things that might appear to be at variance. We will look at a chapter devoted to the world as found in Go Into All the World, and follow this with a chapter and a teaching and a lesson on specific stumbling blocks placed in the way to comprehending the whole Bible witness concerning the exclusiveness of Israel.